The Lord in his goodness often directs Mike in picking music, and I could reduce the sermon down to what they just said, but I won't. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 34, being able to hear. Listen now and hear. Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." He said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." He said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up, becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out all large branches, so that the birds of the air can make its nest in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, and as they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples. He explained everything. I'm going to ask the young children to come up front, please. Good morning. Remember last week? What do I have here? Do you remember what kind of seeds they are? What? What's this one? That's a corn seed. What are these two? Pumpkin. No, butternut squash. And what are those little itty-bitty ones?
Carrots.
So, I'm really feeling like a vegetarian lunch today. It will be healthy and good for me. And so we're going to plant these seeds in this soil. It's really good soil. You think it's all ready?
No.
No?
It'll take a couple months.
No, no. Oh, I forgot something. I know what it was. We have to water it, right? We put some water on, and ready, set, grow.
It'll take a few months.
No, I'm hungry now.
It'll take a few months.
A few months? Who are you? I want to eat now. Butternut squash with a little butter and salt, or corn with some salt and pepper on it. That sounds good, doesn't it? No. Oh. You mean I can't have these today? Not tomorrow?
You can have them in a few months.
A few months? What good is that?
Well, maybe a year.
Does that mean I have to plan ahead? Did you listen to our passage today? It's all about things growing and coming to fruition at just the right time. Do you know how God works most of the time? How? Fast or slow?
Fast.
No, slow. Most of the time, God works slow, and he tells us to be patient. Do you like being patient?
No.
No. You don't like being patient? Why not?
It's not fun.
It's not fun. Why not? You like things right now? But that's not how God works. Did you come out full grown?
No.
How long is God taking to get you grown up? A long time. Are you in a rush
years.
With that sometimes?
20 years.
20 years, you think you'll be all grown up then?
My sister's grown up in 20 years.
Yeah, but she doesn't know everything yet. In fact, it takes till about 40 until you realize you don't know much at all.
Or 50.
Good thing I'm older than that, right?
400.
I'm not that old.
Yeah.
Is it hard to wait? But does God help us with that?
Yeah.
Does he give us his Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And does the Spirit teach us patience? So if we're having trouble with patience, what do we need to do?
Pray
that the God might give us the Holy Spirit and help us to be patient. And if this was a much bigger pot, in a few months, could we have lunch together?
Yeah.
But not today, right?
Well, maybe in a year.
What about if I plant a Smarty Pack in here?
That would not grow.
It won't grow.
It doesn't have seeds.
It doesn't have seeds. Well, it's a good thing I brought a supply of them just in case it didn't grow fast enough. Anybody want some?
Yeah.
Here, you hold it and help yourselves. Let me put this down before I spill water all over myself. Let's go back to our seats or the children's church, okay? Thank you. You can take extra if you want. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you are patient with us. Even now, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Fill us with your Spirit. Open this word to our hearts and minds and grow us in your grace. Help us to listen well and to follow as you lead. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, or a month ago almost now, Lynn and I have been looking for a new house for ourselves. And after much searching, we found one we agreed on, and we put an offer in, and the owner decided, nope, I don't want to sell. Now, that was after looking at a few hundred houses online, touring 10 or 12 houses, and we started all over again. Last Monday, a week and a half ago, no, 2 weeks from tomorrow, our realtor sent us another house. And it looked incredible, so much so that the day Lynn left for Liberia, we took an hour out of her busy schedule to go look at it. And she fell in love with it instantly. I sort of fell in love with it. So much so that while she was gone, I put an offer in on it, and it was accepted. This week, we had it inspected. A 105-year-old house needs work. That wasn't a surprise. But after 3 hours of an inspection on Thursday, it became very clear that the work that house needed was beyond our capacity. And so we were going to have to start all over again. And in case you don't know it, there are no houses for sale in Newton County or the surrounding area. There is just very little. And so we were just thinking, well, maybe we'll just take a month off. Lynn's got an incredibly busy April. I'll have a busy April. We'll just start again in May. And lo and behold, that night, the house we put an offer in and decided not to sell was put back on the market. And so, unless the Lord changes our minds between now and tomorrow, we'll probably put an offer in on it tomorrow. And part of what I realized is a few things. One, there are no perfect houses and no perfect people to live in them. They all are going to need something or fall short in some way, shape, or form. But even more so, more than a house, the Lord is trying to teach us patience and what it is we really value. A house is just a house. We're what he's going to use to make it a home. And wherever he plants us, even if he keeps us where we are, that will be our home. And hopefully it will be a place of blessing. Our parables today and I think the Lord was leading us through all this in part to get me ready for this sermon, are all about listening and trusting and followable. They are four parables of the kingdom. And they're four different styles, but they're really about one thing. Remember, those of you who were here last week who weren't playing hooky at the ladies' retreat, parables serve a double function. They are both an invitation to come and to follow, to listen and to follow. But they're also a warning and a rebuke to those who won't listen and follow, and a warning that judgment is coming. And these four parables certainly show that well. This first one here is an image of bringing a light into the house, but then hiding it under a basket or under a bed. It's just silliness, foolishness. Who does that? You bring a light in so you can see. I dropped my vitamins on the floor this morning. I had to go quickly turn the light on before the dog found them for me. Jesus is the light of the world. And yet the various groups are trying to push him aside, to put him under a basket or under, to hide him. Because what Jesus is doing as the light of the world is exposing them as those who sin and fall short of the glory of God. They don't want to see that. They prefer to live in the shadows because they're not listening to Jesus and his offer of mercy and of grace and of reconciliation and welcome. And because they won't hear that part, they cannot stand that he is the light. But that will not work. The light is coming and is with them. And light does what it does. It exposes. And he finishes this whole idea. For anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's an encouragement that it's much better to listen and to be exposed now in the context of God's mercy than later when it's too late. You know, the old adage, you know, he who hesitates is lost. We do not know the time of his coming and of judgment. And to hear this offer of mercy and of reconciliation and of restoration, of grace, now's the time to be exposed and to deal with your sin, with your falling short. Which leads us into the second one. And he says there, measure wisely. For how you will be measured will be measured to you. This one starts out with a challenge instead of ending with a challenge. It says, pay attention to what you're hearing. Don't be like those for whom the truth comes in one ear and quickly passes out the other. The heart of Jesus' message has been and is, repent and believe. And he's telling them, hear that, live in light of that. And then he warns them with a parable. Don't set yourself up as judge. As you measure, will be measured to you is a phrase that Jesus often used. And it all had to do with judgmentalism. That is, with those who say, well, you know, God, over there, there are 10 people who are way worse than me. Aren't you glad you have me? It misses the whole point of the holiness of God. He's not happy he has you as you are without him. Because you fall just as far short. And again, Jesus here makes clear, setting yourself up as judge, believing you're okay because you can find people worse than you, is not going to be good enough. Listen to what the Holy One says, the one who demands from you, be holy as I am holy, be perfect as I am perfect. And part of the point he's making here is, do you know what sins you're most likely to notice in others? Yours. You know that old adage, you point a finger at someone, three more are pointing back at you. Putting yourself in the place of judge and saying, God, aren't you? No, it will not work. And so this second one is adding on this idea again. That will not get you out of trouble. In fact, if you're not going to listen to Jesus about this, you're going to lose everything, even if you don't have much to begin with. But those who keep on listening will receive more, more mercy, more grace, more glory. That's the warning in this second parable. The third one adds on to it. It talks about the unexpected suddenness of judgment. The image here is one who goes and scatters seed and then goes on with life as if he forgot about the fact that he scattered seed. And while he's sleeping and waking and doing his other things, that seed is prosper. First it sinks a root down into the ground, then a blade springs up, and then a whole stalk, and then ears, and those ears come to fruition. And then the sickle is laid to it. That last part, the sickle is laid to it, is actually borrowing from Joel 3, which is all about the sudden coming of the judgment of God against unbelief. Well, here's Jesus. He's the one that's proclaiming the word, scattering the seed, as we saw last week. And while the opposition ignores it, that seed Jesus is sowing is prospering. They've forgotten about it. They can't see it, but it is prospering by the hand of God. And someday soon, with a suddenness you won't believe, it'll be time for harvest. And harvest here is not a good thing if you're not listening. It's the time of judgment, where the wheat is separated from the chaff, and the chaff is that which does not listen and is not bearing fruit. It is either blown away or thrown into the fire. For those who do listen, that judgment will be a time of great blessing. But again here, the warning is that judgment is coming, and it's coming beyond or quicker than you can imagine. We do not know our time. Now is the time, is the point. And his final parable sort of brings this all together. It's about the mustard seed. Now, technically, mustard seed is not the small seed, but proverbially, that's the way it was always spoken of. It was so small, a small bird could easily eat and digest it. And yet, as it's planted and grows, it becomes a large enough shrub that the birds make nests in it. Jesus says his kingdom is like that, small and insignificant seemingly. And yet one day soon, others will take refuge in it. This one is borrowing an image from Ezekiel 17. Ezekiel has given seven oracles or six oracles of judgment, and this follows in this last one, and it's actually a call, a warning about judgment, but a call to salvation. And it's a call to salvation that God is going to take a small sprig off the top of a cedar and go and plant it on a high mountain. And that small, insignificant cedar would become a huge, massive tree, a place of shade and rest for many. That's what Jesus is about. He's the branch that the Father has planted. His preaching, his work seem insignificant, but God the Father has established him. He is the Son with whom the Father is well pleased, and in whom the Father is raising up his kingdom, in which many will find rest. All of that will be the fulfillment of what was given to David years before, the fulfillment of the imagery of God personally bringing salvation. And as such, it ties us back again into Psalm 2, which is the call to love the Son or face his judgment. So these four parables all work together to make clear what the kingdom is about. Again, come, listen, follow, obey, or else judgment will come. Verses 33 and 34, Jesus sort of brings it all together with a call to hear. In fact, starting back at the beginning of chapter 4, the word hear is used 13 times. It is the point. Listen. Our call to worship this morning was from Deuteronomy. Did you pay attention? The first word there, hear, O Israel. See, there's the heart of kingdom work. You don't know it on your own. Last week we talked about how all of this is a mystery. A mystery is only that which can be understood with God's help. We cannot fathom, understand, comprehend on our own. But as God reveals it, it becomes clear. And so these parables are an invitation to hear. And as you're confounded, to stop and say, Jesus, what was that? In fact, he makes a big point. His disciples, and you need to think here, not just 12. His followers were coming to him and said, what was that? What did that mean? Help, I don't understand. It's an invitation to all of us. Wherever we struggle, wherever we're having hardship, we need to stop. Lord, help, I don't understand. Help me to understand your word. Open it and apply it to my heart. Lord, I don't understand your providence. Why are you doing this? What is it you would have me learn? What is it you would have me do? Jesus' great gift, the resurrected, ascended Jesus, was the gift of his Spirit who was given that we might hear. If you notice, most of Jesus' parables end with a phrase, "Blessed are they who have ears to hear and eyes to see." Translation, "Blessed are they who have the Holy Spirit." The same Spirit that Paul says, "Keep on being filled so that you might hear and see and love and obey." That's the invitation here in these parables. But it's hard to comprehend that. You know, Jesus is out in the wilderness. He's in small towns. Even when he comes to the big cities, he doesn't kowtow to the religious leaders. He doesn't seek their approval, but instead confronts them. And his kingdom is going to come through his rejection, his arrest, his crucifixion, and his death. It is foolishness. But that's the point. In his death, death is defeated. Jesus takes on our sin and overcomes it by offering himself in our place. And we know that was welcomed because on the third day, the Father raised him. That's why we meet on Sundays. It's Resurrection Day. And as hopeless and as helpless as we sometimes feel, we gather on Sundays to be reminded the resurrection took place. And one day soon, we all will be resurrected and made glorious. See, the kingdom is foolishness. How hard is it to believe that it's more blessed to give than to receive? That it's more blessed to serve than to be served? That to gain your life, you must surrender it. And without him, you're dead, even though you don't know it, much like a beautiful flower that has been picked. Christianity Today published a testimony from MIT professor Rosalind Picardi. She knew from an early age she was smart. And she thought she was too smart to believe in God. That believing God was for uneducated, ignorant people. But in God's providence, she served as a babysitter to people who love Jesus. And every time she babysat for them, they would invite her to come to church with them. And she said, "You're crazy. I'm not going to church with you." And finally, one day, I think it was the husband who said to her, "Well, going to church is not the most important thing. You need to meet God in his word. Have you read the Bible?" And she saw herself as an intellectual and said, "Well, I haven't, so I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to read the Bible." God began to do a work. Then she was taking an advanced placement class in theoretical physics and had a friend who had to explain things to her that she couldn't quite grasp. And lo and behold, this fellow who was explaining theoretical physics to her said, "Come to church with me." And she did. She writes at the end of her story, "I once thought I was too smart to believe in God. Now I know I was an arrogant fool who snubbed the greatest mind in the cosmos, the author of all science, mathematics, art, and everything else there is. Today I walk humbly, having received the most undeserved grace. I walk with joy alongside the most amazing companion anyone could ask for, filled with desire to keep learning and exploring." Yes, the kingdom of God is foolishness and death to those who don't have ears to hear. But to those whom Jesus has given a spirit, it is incredible blessedness. See, the heart of all that Jesus is talking about here is the idea of stewardship that began way back in Genesis 1. When God explained to Adam and Eve, he didn't make them so that they could sit around and do nothing, but that he had work for them to do. He put them in a garden, not so they would have everything, but so that they would know what it should be. And then he sent them out into the rest of the world, which is not yet a garden, that they might make it a garden. See, Lynn and I are not called to go find a perfect neighborhood and move into that. We're called to go move into a neighborhood and hopefully bring a garden to it. To bring peace, hope, and joy to those who don't have it, just as you are. That's the stewardship, and that's what Jesus is inviting us into in these parables. He's offering restoration, reconciliation with God, so that we can be faithful stewards, those who are bearing much fruit for Him, glorifying God and blessing others. But you can't do it in your own strength. You need His gift of the Spirit as He calls us to listen, to hear. He's calling us to ask for more of His Holy Spirit that we might listen and obey with joy. That's what we're all called, to listen and to obey. He is Lord. And as Lord, He directs each of us individually to be about different things in different places. But it's all the same, listening and obeying. You know, I once knew an older gentleman who was a retired pastor, and whenever his wife told him something or asked him to do something, he always responded with, "Noted." He wanted his wife to know he heard what she said. Now, her response made it clear he may have heard it physically, but the noted part wasn't real clear about whether he was going to do anything about it or remember it. You cannot respond to these parables with "noted." Remember last week as we looked at the parable of the seeds, two of those seeds landed in soil and sprouted up quickly. One of them died quickly because it had no rootedness. It was in rocky soil. It wasn't abiding or planted deeply in Jesus. The other one was planted in good soil but was surrounded by weeds and thorns and was choked out. And Jesus made clear, that's the concerns, the cares of life. If you're more concerned with what car you drive and how nice your house is, your clothes are, He says, you're not going to last. Abiding in Me is where fruitfulness comes from. And "I hear you" is not enough. Lord, give Me Your Spirit that I might truly hear and that I might have a heart to obey and a heart to obey with joy. You know, the hardest thing for you who are parents of young children is to get your children to obey. But you're bigger than them, and you can make them do stuff, at least for a little while longer. But to get them to do it with joy, that's beyond your pay grade. It's only as you pray for your children, Lord, change their hearts. Fill them with Your Spirit. Give them ears to hear and a heart to obey. God alone can do that work. And if we're truthful with ourselves, it's not just our children who have a problem with that. That's what these parables are inviting us into. Again, the great temptation for all of us is to see Jesus' kingdom, Jesus as King, as insignificant or just a small part of my life, and to pay lip service to it. The church itself, down through history, has done just that and has regularly been tempted and tried to seize control of power. And any time it's ever had it, it has done miserably with it. Because we're not called to be powerful. We're called to follow the One who has all power. And in His kingdom, serving and giving and blessing are the ways of life. And to trust Him to be at work through those things. Now remember, Mark is writing this some 20, 30 years after Christ to a church facing severe persecution. They're stuck between a rock and a higher place. They have fierce opposition from Jews and fierce opposition from Romans. They're facing extinction. And Jesus' answer is, listen and obey. Trust Me. I am that sprig the Father has planted. And many will come to find rest underneath Me. And the irony of that is that many Jews, and eventually the Roman Empire, did just that. Found their rest, their identity in Christ. So So we proclaim Jesus, who served and who died that death might be defeated. And we remember that on the third day he was raised, that even now he has all power and authority, so that we listen to him with the help of the Spirit, who is our Savior and Lord, the King who has come and who's coming again soon. Are you listening well? Are you able to hear? Let's pray. Lord, even now, send your Spirit. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that have been made anew, hearts of flesh that believe in you, even though the world sees you as foolishness. Forgive us, Lord, when we go our own way, which we do far too often. Instead, Lord, again, give us ears to hear even now. Help us to follow after you, our Lord and our King, our Savior. It's in your name we pray. Amen.